Happy Easter. It's an exciting day in so many ways. We celebrate Easter as new beginnings, certainly for us in our faith life, in our spiritual life, new beginnings, born again, all of the wonderful biblical symbols and all of the biblical metaphors and teachings that we receive from it. I'm excited as well because it is kind of a relaunch for us as a church in many ways. Some of you have gladly chosen to have Easter as your relaunch after a time of COVID. Others because of receiving a couple of vaccines now. Whatever the case may be, it is great to see you. And it's great to be together to worship our Lord together. We have many guests that are with us here today. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God is in this place and that above all else that you see Jesus. I pray as well as we worship together, we want to welcome our audience over Facebook Live, both near and far. We love you all. We hear from many of you, and we've become acquainted with many of you through Facebook, and we desire to continue to hear from you and to develop a relationship, a friendship with you. Well, we have been in a sermon series on the book of 1 John, and in that sermon series, we've entitled it Vital Signs of Faith. And John gives to his church just indicators and signs that we can know that we're true children of God. Today we're looking at a very important vital sign, and it's God's perfect love. And so in this passage that we're about to look at, we see Jesus as the example of God's perfect love, but we also see the relationship because we are living through Christ, that perfect love shows up in our daily life as his church. To begin with today, I'd like to just ask you maybe a question or two that would maybe give you some thoughts. Why do we call it Good Friday? Good Friday. And why do we say the gospel is good news for all people? Good news. Why do we ask questions like that? Now, we recognize that Easter is the pinnacle. It is the high day of the year in the Christian calendar. And so it's not that we don't celebrate Easter every day of our life as children of faith. It's not that we don't celebrate the Word of God and the Holy Spirit within us every Sunday and other days that we gather together to worship. We do. But we celebrate Easter because we are reminded of the good news. And we're reminded of God's love for us in a special way. And so today we have folks that may be coming that are seeking Christ and want to know the message of this good news and why it is good news for their life and for our world. We have other folks that may be recognizing it as the high day in the Christian calendar, and it is their day of choosing to come gather together with God's church and God's people. Regardless of why, we pray beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've experienced the goodness of God and the meaning of Easter and God's perfect love in your life and in your family. And as we come together today, we want to recognize that the offside is equally true. History is replete with examples of man's inhumanity against man. We think a little bit of the Spanish Inquisition, where people were really killed for their faith. We see the examples of Britain and the Atlantic slave trade. We see examples of that humanity against humanity with Russia and their Siberian labor camps where many died and were killed. We see examples of it, Germany and the gas chambers of the Holocaust. We see examples of it in America, the millions who have aborted babies under the rank and file of the law. You see, we have many instances where our world is swept away literally by deceit and greed and intention and fear and lust. And even more so, it seems like nature is getting twisted more and more. We realize the ever-present threat of viruses and pandemics. We recognize raging bacteria that's ever before us. We recognize that these kind of things are part of our life. And don't you know that the Bible itself even raises those kind of questions? The Bible is so real to give us examples of tyranny and cruelty and mutilation, eyes being gouged out, hands being lopped off. We begin to see other things of deceit and a license to live however you want to live, no matter who it hurts. We have examples of war, and not only war, but God sent war. In the Old Testament, the country of Assyria was seen as one of the cruelest nations, and it's called the rod of God's anger. So I ask you a question today. Why is it Good Friday? Why is it good news? And is God really love? In the passage that we're going to look at today in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, we'll see a beautiful picture of God's love for us. I'd like to invite you to stand one more time, and we're going to read that scripture aloud together. And let me encourage you to read it with a heartfelt passion, for it is the truth of God in your life and for our life. Would you read it with me? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your endless, boundless love shown to us perfectly through Jesus, your Son, our Lord. We're thankful for your plan and purpose of compassion and grace and mercy to offer us fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And today we celebrate you on this high day of worship in the Christian calendar with millions and millions of Christians across the world. And we come before you giving you thanks for the forgiveness of our sin. We give you thanks for the life that you have given to us, eternal and new. And we come today thanking you for the Holy Spirit of God that lives within our hearts and minds. And we thank you for the peace and the presence of God and the power of God that lives within us as we are in Christ, to show extraordinary self-sacrificing love. We confess our sin before you this day. We ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're going to be mainly in verse 10 today. You'll see it on the screen, if you will. If you would look at it, it says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And here's what we're going to talk about. And sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Atoning sacrifice. That word atonement is difficult to understand, but if we break it down by syllables, we can say at one meant. We can become at one with God through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sin. In the New King James, it calls it the propitiation. That's a word that may be difficult to understand, but I'm going to use the word atoning sacrifice and propitiation as well as meaning satisfying the wrath of God. You say, come again? I thought it said in verses 7 through 12 several times, 9, 10, and 11, that God is love, and all of a sudden you're talking about God's wrath? I don't know what I think about that. Did anybody tell you it was Easter? And you're talking about God's wrath? And you're talking about being saved from God's anger and wrath? Well, chances are you may have never heard of this doctrine, as basic as it may be in Scripture. And maybe that it's not been taught to you much, or maybe it's not been taught to you well. So pray for the scripture to work among us today as we engage the word of God. And we think about it a little bit. Some are offended that God would be a just God, meaning fair with our sins. It may be offended to think that God would be angry because of our sin, and that God's wrath had to be satisfied because of our sin. Now, here's the teaching of Scripture. God is holy and God is perfect. In him, there is no sin. And because that we are sinners, that we are, the Bible says in Romans, enemies of Christ. We live opposite of Christ. We live opposite of his will and purpose. You say, well, wait a minute. You don't know. I'm a pretty good person here. The Bible teaches that if you have sin in your life, any rebellion, many quoted as saying, even one sin, then we need God's forgiveness. We need God to be satisfied so that sin will no longer be in our life. And so the Bible teaches us God is wrathful toward our sin, and he's even condemning. This is a hard word, but the scripture says even vengeful. You say, well, can you give me a verse or two to prove that? In the wonderful chapter of John, chapter 3, the same John wrote it, John the Apostle. And when he talks about God's love for us in that beautiful 16th verse that we all hold dearly, look down just about 21 verses to verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. You look a little further, I'll give you one from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. And I'm going to begin with 9b. It says, they tell you how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Now, it's very difficult for us to embrace that, but we know scriptures and have heard scriptures most of our life, if we've been in church to any degree or not. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the, thank you, church, glory of God, amen. And then it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, these are the Roman roads passages that we learned maybe. It says, for the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, folks, that is the good news. Despite the crucifixion of Jesus, as Billy Sunday has said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And for some of you here today, it's Friday, and all that you see is death around you, uncertainty. All you see is problems, and all that we hear is the world issues. And it's easy to be depressed. It's easy to be down. It's easy to be angry. But folks, God brings life out of death, and he'll bring life out of whatever death you may be experiencing today. And that's the God that we serve, but we must understand his attributes. Maybe this will help you understand a little bit. Josh McDowell Ministries, if many of you have heard of him, he's a great expositor of the word, and he's a great teacher, spent much of his time with specifically students, but now he's preaching and he's of age. But he tells a story I heard recently from him, that there was a young girl in her 20s, maybe 20 or 21, north of Los Angeles, and she was flying down the road. I mean, not just driving a little bit over the speed limit, but well over the speed limit. And a police officer pulled her over, gave her a ticket. She said, due to the nature of how fast you were going, I'm not only going to give you a ticket, but I'm going to bring you in. I brought her in, and not long thereafter, appeared before a judge in traffic court. And the judge said, wow, you are in a hurry. What in the world were you doing? How do you plead? And she said, I plead guilty. There's no doubt that I am guilty. And you can tell that it was a little bit dated. He said, I am going to charge you $100. It's dated, isn't it? Plus court fees. And he said, if you can't pay it, then you'll spend so many days in jail. And she said, okay. He pronounced judgment. He got up. He took off his robe. He laid it over his chair. He walked around to stand beside her. He got out of his wallet. He pulled out $100 and he paid her bill. Finding out he was her father. It gives you a little bit of picture, if we will, of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The propitiation for our sin. He paid the ransom. He paid the price for us through Jesus Christ. He took off his regal robe in heaven and he sent his son Jesus here to live the life of Christ, to show us the way of God, to how we can be in fellowship with God, to die on the cross for our sins, to teach us the ways of the kingdom are not the ways of the world. And he died on the cross for your sin and my sin. And that is God's perfect, extraordinary love, that he sent Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice, our way back to God. You may be here today and you have lost your way from God, or perhaps maybe you never have begun it yet, but you know that God is moving, God is working, God is speaking in your life. The Holy Spirit is moving. You have Christians pouring into your life. You're beginning to think about it. You think more about God. That is good. God's love is coming into your life. He's lavishing you with that love. Accept that love. Embrace that love of God. Because you may be having birth pangs to being born again spiritually as a child of God. And we give thanks for that. You see, if that judge had been very casual to his daughter or any other place, said, well, I know you were in a hurry. I know you were doing the best you can. Just, I'm not going to charge you with anything. Just try not to do it again. Well, many folks, whether that penalty or that law being broken, would say, justice and the law hasn't been served. You'd be angry at that judge for being unfair, because there must be a penalty for the crime, especially when the crime hurts others or could hurt others. And I would pose to you today that God would not be just if he wasn't serious about sin, because God is perfect, holy, without sin. And our sin, our rebellion, whatever form it takes, offends him. And that's the truth of God that we can understand. And punishment for that sin is eternal death. I want to say to you that every sin committed by every person from the beginning of time will be punished. You say, man, I don't know if I can wrap my mind around that. Every person who has committed any sin and every sin from the beginning of time will be punished. You say, well, how is that going to be? For some, the sinner will be punished by their rejection of Jesus Christ in an eternal, everlasting separation, hell. But for others, God's wrath will be satisfied by a special sacrifice. Look at verse 10 again on the screen. Notice here what it says. This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. God took the initiative. Matt just mentioned Adam and Eve and the inherent sin that comes from our life to rebel against God and to rebel against authority. And death came into the world at that time. We see a picture of ourselves, and we can see it as early as infancy, with being prone to rebel and it be about me and about I and mine. That's just example of who we are in our inherent nature to rebel against God and any authority. But we see God didn't wait for us. He sent Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Another verse that you may recall and remember that we love as a favorite is Romans 5:8, and it says, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for our sin. God gave the initiative. God gave the plan to offer, listen, fellowship and intimacy with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Listen, religion and ritual won't cut it. Going through the motions won't cut it. It is an intimacy and fellowship that has existed from the Godhead before time began. And he offers us that fellowship and that intimacy with him each and every day. Jesus satisfied the penalty so that all who have saving faith are now clothed in righteousness. Not how good you are, not how much better you are than your neighbor, but the righteousness of God, which is perfection and holiness. God sees you through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus when you have saving faith. And he doesn't remember your sin any longer. And he separates as far as the east is from the west. That is Good Friday. That is good news for all people. Now, I want to kind of give you a picture of that in the Old Testament. And the picture of it is on the Day of Atonement. One time a year in the tabernacle or the temple, the holy place of Israel at that time, did the high priest come and enter into a very sacred area called the Holy of Holies. It was separated by a veil one time a year. And the week preceding that Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, as you may know of it today in the Jewish calendar, the high priest would expel himself from family and friends and everyone, being isolated and alone. He would consecrate himself. He would cleanse himself from head to toe. And on the night before, he would also come before God and to be clothed in white linen. And three different times during that day of atonement, he would cleanse himself from head to toe. He would go into the Holy of Holies. And at that time, he would offer a sacrifice for himself and his family first. He would exit, come out again, clean himself from head to toe, put on another white clean linen cloth, go back in, and he would offer sacrifice of an animal, a pure, unblemished lamb, for all of the priests. And then the third time he would do so, he would come and offer a sacrifice, cleanse from head to toe, another white linen, for all of the sins of Israel. Now, a picture of that involved, that you can see on the screen, is a picture of the Ark of the Covenant behind the veil where the high priest would go. On that picture that there it is, we've got is, it's of a gold box. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was what? A jar of manna. Oh, good, girls. You all know this? Go ahead. Aaron's staff and the Ten Commandments. Oh, listen to our senior high students. You go, girls. All right. We'll take a little praise clap for that. So I didn't have to teach that at all. All right. And so what you had was a lid covered with gold there. You see the two cherubs on the ends, the wings extending over it to protect the holiness of God, the cherub or the angel, and to protect the broken law that man has broken within the ark itself. And the Shekinah glory, if you'll remember a little bit with me in Exodus, the glory of God, the presence of God in a cloud, the presence of the Holy Spirit with them, and to protect, indeed, the holiness of God there. So on that lid, or that mercy seat of which it was called, he would kill the lamb that was undefiled, unblemished. It was completely pure. And he would sprinkle the blood over the lid or the mercy seat for the forgiveness of all the sins of Israel. And that's a little bit of a picture of what you get in this Old Testament sacrificial system. God said, I will accept the offering of blood sacrifices and pour it out on the mercy seat for satisfaction for the sins, because it is a picture. It's a foreshadow of Jesus' final and only ultimate satisfaction, listen, of God's wrath. That's what that word propitiation means, the mercy seat of God's wrath. And if you want to understand a little bit further, and we're not going to talk about it today, but you can go to the book of Hebrews and read Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. And in that passage of scripture, you can understand, he said, though millions of animals and bulls and rams and many offerings and sacrifices have been offered, now they're finished, they're done, because we have the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and his name is Jesus. And that's who we celebrate today for God's plan for us. How can the holy God be reconciled with us who violate his holy law, who sin? How can his anger and his holy anger and his loving anger and his loving wrath? I'm saying it purposefully for that, because this whole passage is couched in what? God is love. The whole passage is telling us about his perfect love for us. He loves us so much, he gives us freedom for the will, but God sent his son, taking the life of his son to satisfy his requirement, to give an opportunity for us to have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, to satisfy his wrath against us as sinners. You say, well, that's pretty strong. I want to be honest with you, as if I've not been. This is the Word of God. This is the attributes of God. This is the truth of God that we are reading and studying today. If it's the first time you've heard it, please look into it more. God's wrath is satisfied by the death of Jesus Christ. That's Good Friday. Jesus is the mercy seat. Matt read from Psalm 24, looking at a prophecy of Jesus as the King of Glory. Did we not enjoy that song together? And then in Isaiah chapter 53, 800 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah says in verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all." There is the work of God. That is Good Friday. That is the celebration. And in this passage, we see a picture of the theology of the substitutionary atonement of Christ. You say, what does that mean? God makes an extreme sacrifice, sending his son to be our substitute. Jesus took your place. He was your substitute. In the verse that we enjoy and we repeat many times in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says that he made him, Jesus, to be sin who had no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Jesus lived as a sinless life, tempted in all ways like us. He is a high priest that takes upon our sin upon him, as it says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. But one other power verse that we like, I'm going to read it with you in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Read it with me, if you will. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." You can begin to see that this is our celebration, not just on the high day of Easter, but every day of life that we've been brought from death to life. The righteous took our place. We are the unrighteous, and it's important that we understand that. And here's important, that your sin, my sin, will be paid for either by you or by Jesus. Without Jesus, holy justice demands sinners receive everlasting punishment, separate from God. With Jesus, mercy demands sinners to receive everlasting life and blessing. So why do we call it Good Friday, I ask again? Why is it good news of the gospel? Well, this story may help in just a little bit. In September of 2013, one of the most horrific terrorist attacks in history took place in an upscale mall in Nairobi, Kenya. I can still remember the images in my mind. How about you? And on that day, four gunmen entered into that upscale mall from Al-Shabaab, a terrorist group, and they gunned down 67 people. And over 200 were injured. But on that day, there was a notable story that was getting much press through television and through other publications of a shooting. And it was the story of a young mother named Sneha. Sneha was at the mall having coffee with a friend when she began to hear gunshots, and she dropped below the table for her protection when she heard a cell phone going off. And not wanting to draw attention to herself or their area, she decided quickly that she'd go off and try to get the phone turned off. And as she was beginning to reach underneath the man for the cell phone to turn it off, she found out that he was bleeding profusely. While turning the phone off, she made a snap decision of what would do that would affect the rest of her life. She took the blood of that man and began to wipe it all over her body, where she could fake death, whereby when the gunman came along, they perhaps would think that she was already dead. Quoting her that day, "When I put my hand under him, that's when I realized that this guy had been shot because he was bleeding. He was bleeding heavily. There was a lot of blood there." Then she made the difficult, life-changing decision in the hopes that they would pass over her body. Her grisly camouflaged body probably saved this woman's life. Quote, "I'd love to know who he was because I think his blood protected me, saved my life." It's not a stretch for us to understand that with atoning sacrifice, is it? I would like to know him and his righteousness, the power of his righteousness in my life. I'd like to know what it means to know him and to love him. I'd like to know what it means to have faith and to trust in him, what it is really to believe in him. I would really like to know what it means for his blood to cover me, that he took my place. It's not hard for us to reach and to find that story can have application to our spiritual life and to the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, because the Bible teaches us God is holy and we are not. No matter how good that you think that you are compared to others horizontally, compared to God vertically, he's perfect and we cannot reach heaven with any sin that we behold or have in our life. We have a sin problem. The Bible says that we've all broken his law. We have earned God's just wrath and sentenced to eternal punishment. And that's universally the bad news, what we began with. But the good news is God, while being just and holy, is also gracious and merciful. Amen. God offers complete forgiveness today for all your sin. All your rebellion, no matter what you have done, when you have done it, whatever form or fashion, no matter how many people you've harmed, no matter how reckless your life has been, there is a Redeemer, there is an atoning sacrifice and hope for you today. His name is Jesus. And I pray that you are encouraged that he offers a complete escape and deliverance from eternal punishment, and he offers you a new life now here on earth. Amen? That's our celebration today. That's our celebration every Sunday. As Christians, that's the new life that we celebrate every day when we walk in the Spirit and we walk with the Lord and we trust and obey. That is our blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. The promise of eternal blessing and life and holy perfection. And the vital sign you find in verse 11. Because of his self-sacrificing model and example for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. In the court of God, we are exhibit A. Because he loved us as an atoning sacrifice, because we live with him and he lives with us, the difference is the model that we embrace is self-sacrificing love. Extraordinary love. And I'll just give you a brief example. If someone in your family has hurt you or harmed you, and maybe repeatedly so, we have to remember in some measure, I think a large measure, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Maybe that's getting a little too close to home for you today, but the scripture says because he has forgiven us, we too should forgive one another. We have to remember the sin that God has forgiven us. And oh, it was a dark day, a red-faced day for us when we remember all of the sin in our life. And how it just stacks layer up layer upon our heart to give us guilt and shame to know that the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, took away our guilt, which is expiation. He took away our shame. He took it away when he became our atoning sacrifice. When we genuinely, truthfully received it. It has been a day of glory where the King of glory, the Almighty King, has come into our life. Or maybe it's somebody in your life that just kind of is different, annoys you, you know? Maybe it's somebody in church. I say, do we talk about that? No, not really. But the point is that if you've been hurt or feelings have been hurt, we owe obligation that we ought to also love one another. This is not a large move here. We get this because Jesus loves us and forgave us. We also ought to love one another. His self-sacrificing, extraordinary love by which we are able to love others, we're able to humble ourselves before others, we're offered to offer others grace in our life, and offered the truth in the right way, then indeed God has done an extraordinary self-sacrificing love that's after the model and the example of Jesus' atoning sacrifice for our sin. Amen? And that's who we are. And that's how we understand that God is love. You know, if it's so easy, we wouldn't even need verse 11 as a reminder, right? It's hard. It's difficult. Because Jesus even said, that's where God's love shines at the worst, most difficult time when his self-sacrificing love comes through you and the cross. And death comes to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The deadness of the flesh in your life, you crucify again and again to live by the Spirit of life. After the example of Jesus, he says, love even your enemies. God did something for us while we were still sinners. Jesus went to the cross to bear your sins and love you. To whom is it offered? Those who have saving faith. Now, I will tell you, there's a whole lot of folks. I didn't say all. I didn't say most. But the Bible says most. I'll just tell you. Matthew 7, 13, and 14. Few there be that find it. They believe saving faith is believing a story or two about God in the Bible. Or they may say, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. They may believe that. And then they live a good life. And they believe that that's saving faith. If you read God's word and understand it, that's a devil's lie. It's not reading about God or believing about God. It's knowing Jesus is Lord. He invites you to experience his love in a very personal, real love relationship. An intimacy and fellowship that centers on who God the Father, God the Son, and the God the Holy Spirit is before the beginning of time. And he invites you into that realm where his love now lives in us. And it shows as a demonstration of a vital indicator or sign that we're children of God. Now, I want to ask you a very personal question because God is dealing with you right now in a very personal way through the Holy Spirit, through the word you've heard today. Are you at peace with God? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today or tomorrow, that your soul would be in heaven? If not, why not? And today, I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I really couldn't do that. I'm trying to get you to engage God's word and listen to the Holy Spirit that may be creating some doubt in your life as to whether your life truly shows that you're a child of God, whether you know the Holy Spirit in your life, or whether you know something's wrong or know something's not saved, and ring a warning bell like the Bible does over and over. I'm not trying to scare you into anything. I'm trying to tell you the truth about God's attributes of wrath and anger, and his separation for sin will be eternal. But you have the will and the blessing today to receive Jesus as your Lord and believe on him and repent. Begin to change. Turn toward God. Run toward God. To experience the transformation of God in your life. To proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord. And I want to encourage you that if you're beginning to have birth pangs to this born again experience, do not keep it to yourself. Seek God while he may be found. He is working in your life. Talk with other Christians. Listen to sound teaching of the word of God. Speak with other Christians to help you along that love you and care about you. Do not let this day pass to know that God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking. And in our closing time where we will remember that God brought Jesus from death to life, and we celebrate that he's brought our dead flesh to life by the Spirit of God, Or we celebrate new life that he has brought us out of our past and our pain and our suffering and our bad choices to a new life and a new desire and a new way to think. We remember today that God is love. And he showed his love through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. We invite you to accept him. You can come to the front row if you want to pray today. There's ample room for you to pray at the front row or at the stage. Or I'll be standing here at the front today if you want to speak with me for prayer. Or today if you want to make a decision to confess Jesus as your Lord, we would invite you to do that. But today we celebrate he is arisen, and we understand why. It's Good Friday, and it's the good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name, that your word teaches us all truth, that it is living and active. It's not static. It'll jump off the page into our life. We can experience your goodness and grace. All of our experiences are tested by your word, and we give you thanks. We come before you today confessing our sin. We come today believing that there's individuals here, or for those that are worshiping with us online, that are trusting you as their personal Lord and Savior. We're thankful today that your Holy Spirit is speaking to each of us, and we have a new understanding to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, to celebrate the atoning sacrifice of Christ. And we come before you today just giving you thanks for that endless love and for providing us a way. Would you give us the courage to follow you? Would you give us the Holy Spirit, the desire to follow you? Will you help us today to commit our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord? Oh, we thank you, Lord. You overcame death. You overcame sin. You overcame hell, and you overcame Satan. And when we truly believe, you give us the same power to do likewise. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.